sign that Arjuna, there are many disciple successions, but the same truth is being revealed. We find that Arjuna was in the Kshatriya line, and through the ages, Vivaswan, Manu, this is another sampradaya in which it was handed down specifically in the line of kings, which Arjuna was meant to receive it in. All the great kings of the world. One time the entire world was run by one king at a time. And these kings were all instructed within this disciplic succession. But then Krishna explains that the nature of time in this world is everything becomes corroded by time. The nature. So therefore there's a need for the Lord to come from time to time to revive the original. But at the same time, amongst great saints and sages, it was still perfectly intact. Because at the time of Bhagavad Gita being spoken, Veda Vyas was on the planet. And he was one of the great recipients of this disciplic line, was he not? And also Narada Muni. He visited Dwarka just before this battle. Huh? He also was instigating Kamsa, so he was there. He was Veda Vyasa's guru, Param Guru. So therefore, amongst the sages, the disciplic line was there. But the kings were the ones that would disseminate it to the masses. And amongst the kings it was lost. So therefore Krishna was reviving the original teachings of Gita. Sanatana Dharma.
There is no record of Arjuna's parampara.
Because it's the parampara vivasvan of the kings. That we say four sampradayas because that sampradaya it no longer exists.
Huh? So after Arjuna there was no didn't continue.
Parikshit Maharaj. He was also in that line. He also taught according to the same principles. But after Parikshit Maharaj was bitten by the serpent and was cursed by Sringi, we do not find kings who are following these principles and handing down these principles.
His son, the last person, Jamila.
He was also a great saint, but it did not endure much after that amongst the kings. Krishna is explaining this Vivaswan, this is an actual disciplic succession of the Surya dynasty, but it was specifically handed down from king to king, from ruler to ruler. But do you see any kings today that are in this line of disciplic succession? See the four lines of disciplic succession that are still present on the earth are not amongst kings. They are amongst ascetics, renunciates, sages, rulers. And even they are practically lost from time to time, and then somebody comes to revive them to the people's eyes.
This parampara does not refer to the parampara of the saints, of the renunciates.
The same teaching, the same identical teaching, but it's a different line. This is a line that was specifically carried on five great kings and dynasties. They were all pure devotees.
What does it mean when it says it appears to be lost? Which means that it is never lost.
Appears means to the general people. It's never lost. Sanatana Dharma is never lost. Essentially, there's no difference in the teachings of the various paramparas, Vaishnava paramparas. Just like at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there were so many Sahajiya Sampradayas amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Of course, Jagannath Das Babaji, Gorkhashore Das Babaji, they were existing at that time, but they were, and they and handfuls of others, they were recipients of the true parampara of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But to the people, it appeared to be lost. Everything was mixed up. All sorts of unscrupulous additions and subtractions had taken place. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur re-established the principles of the parampara by writing Jagannath Das Babaji, Gorkhashore. They were not writing books. They were just chanting bhajan. But Bhaktivinoda, through his books, thus they did not preach that much. But he was vigorously preaching and defeating arguments, and he re-established the Gaudiya Vaishnava's parampara. So in that sense, it appeared to be lost, but it was not lost. So just as we see that the Lord either comes himself or sends some divine empowered representatives to revive and create a renaissance within the disciple clan, which by time generally deteriorates into different types of mixtures of Mayavad, Sahajiyism, and all the and mental speculation, immorality. Caste consciousness. So many of the branches of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there are different Nityananda bumps, Advaita bumps. Their whole concept now is that you must receive initiation through someone who is born from the seminal line of these great personalities. So these are deviations.
Any difference between
Brahma Rishi
and
Raja
Rishi?
Hmm?
What is the difference between
Brahma
and
Raja
Rishi?
A Brahma Rishi is a Brahman Rishi, and a Raja Rishi is a King Rishi. Raja Rishi is an actual emperor, a great king, who was a pure devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession. And a Brahma Rishi is like you. Such a word. A Brahman, a sadhu, rishi. It's the same, the spirit of devotion is the same, but the position is different.
In the Bhagavatam, we find many paramparas. Even among the saints, but they are lost over a period of time. Even among just two, three people. For example, you have Krishna instructing Maitreya to Uddhava, to Vidur. Vidur just instructs Dhritarashtra, nobody else. There's no record. So like this, all the discussions that are there in the Bhagavatam, basically just three, four stages, and then they die out. There are actually many sub-paramparas, but these four paramparas we talk about are only the existing paramparas.
They're existing. So but these four are special, because they're always existing. From the beginning of the creation, throughout the creation, these four remain always, by Krishna's grace. The others are paramparas that he, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, only Krishna personally can begin a parampara. So when he appears in the world, sometimes he instructs and a certain line of teachers preserve the same message. But these particular four Vaishnava paramparas began all at the beginning of the creation and they last until the end. So they are the standard four. And in Kali Yuga, they're the only ones that remain.
Maharaj, when this knowledge was, like Prabhupada explained, that this was it deviated, but all these years it was coming through disciplic succession. So who were it like, who deviated this thing, Bhagavad Gita? It was coming from parampara. People would have accepted parampara only. Then why this knowledge was interrupted by all these demonic scholars, mundane scholars?
Two things. One is people who are within the parampara that deviate and manufacture, concoct, speculate, do not submissively present like postman the previous message. And two is people who are not in parampara, and by their own egoistic ideas, they present Bhagavad Gita. These two deviations have always been in existence. Sometimes the demons are predominant and sometimes the devotees are predominant. But in Kali Yuga, generally, always the demons are predominant. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchidyatati. Hardly one approached the real power.
And unless you are connected with one of these paramparas, is it not possible to understand this truth?
It is impossible to enter into the mystery of this science. You can understand partial realizations of the truth, no doubt. But the essential mystery of who Krishna is, who Narayana is, what is pure bhakti, that must be received through these paramparas. But we find also in the Christian church there was a parampara. In the Islamic tradition, originally there was a parampara. In the Jewish scripture, originally there was a parampara. In all of these great religions of the West also, the Lord appeared and established a particular parampara. But there's so many deviations. The Pope is supposed to be the guru of parampara in the Catholic Church. Right? Catholic Church has a very similar concept of parampara as we do. We must accept through the Pope and his representatives. Jesus said that, he said to Peter, Saint Peter, that you are the rock by which my whole church will stand on. And he was the first acharya in that sense of parampara. In the whole St. Peter's Cathedral, that means that all the popes are receiving the message that Peter received from Jesus. So therefore there's a parampara. But of course, even in the Catholic Church, historically there were popes who became debauchees, a complete deviation, total politicians. But then again, another pope may come up and through his ancient teachings and intuition can actually, the real spirit again can be revived. And therefore it comes closer to the parampara again. But you see, these are all temporary paramparas. These are all time and circumstance paramparas that the Lord creates, which are revealing partial truths of the Absolute. But these four particular paramparas are revealing the full truth of Sanatana Dharma, and they will continue on. And they will always continue on. So to receive that full truth, one must accept.
Rajpan, now you said that there are two ways people deviate from the parampara. The second way, which like from our own parampara only, when they deviate, it's most dangerous because we think that they are from our parampara only. So that time they deviate, then they misled our parampara people also.
That is why Srila Prabhupada told us not to mix even with other Gaudiya Vaishnavas intimately. offer our respects. But those who are following Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so they are very truly presenting Parampara. But even then, he said, you can become confused. Because if you are an advanced devotee, you will not become confused. But if you are a neophyte devotee, even they present something so oftentimes in different ways that unless we are Mahatmas or broad-minded, we cannot accommodate. We become a little bewildered. And our faith is disturbed. But as far as those who are outside of Bhakti, we know of Bhakti Siddhanta's line, which includes almost all of these books that everybody's reading. We're reading. That is very dangerous. Because although it is Gaudiya Vaishnavism, they accept Narottam, they accept Srinivas, they accept Krishna Das, they accept, but still, most of them are tinged with various aspects of deviation. And even a little deviation, when we hear submissively from, our faith is disturbed, and the direction of our Krishna consciousness is diverted. Some are gross deviations, some are subtle deviations. Gross deviations, some people say that their guru is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, incarnation of Godhead, and they teach high rasas immediately and all these things. Those are gross deviations. But we cannot even recognize what's gross or subtle, we're so ignorant. And others, sahaja means They may say almost the same thing you say, but the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, they minimize. They want to cheaply jump to high platforms. Or sometimes they have concocted interpretations. Just like, for instance, some of you were saying that Prabodhananda Saraswati was Prakashananda Saraswati. Now, to the true Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that's an offensive statement. Prabodhananda Saraswati was a very, very pure Sri Vaishnav from the very beginning of his life. He, Venkata Bhat, Tirumala Bhat, we were discussing this morning, they were pure devotees of Narayan throughout their life in Sri Ramayana. He was Gopal Bhatta Goswami's guru from 7 years old, from early childhood. To say that he was a Mayavadi and he was a blasphemer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Huh? Even though Prakasananda was delivered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we never hear of him afterward. Right? He's given very little importance, except the fact that Mahaprabhu defeated him. But Prabodhananda Saraswati was given supreme importance. His literature, his writings, his disciple Gopal Bhatta Goswami, his living in Vrindavan, his meeting with Mahaprabhu, his whole life is given supreme importance. So, these types of just concoctions, they bewilder a devotee's true understanding of what is. It may seem like a detail, but actually, that same type of concoction or speculation permeates through the whole philosophy of these people who write these books. Therefore, the devotee just does not give any importance to them, does not give any credibility to them.
When you send the news from Shyamala Guru that we should not read the book of Shanda Sakya. So one book that he explained the story of Prabhupada and Saraswati. We thought that he was like, Kandamani used to bring that book. It explains all different acharyas' life story. In that story he explains about Prabhupada and Saraswati. And he gives one nice story, means it appears that it's the truth. He says that he explains everything. Prabhupada Saraswati was in the beginning he was three Vaishnava, but he went to Varanasi, then he became Mayavadi Sannyasi, then he became Prakashanand Saraswati. And when he heard that his uncle and cousin, means his brother Sannyasi, become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciple, he gets angry and he writes all nonsense letters to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, writing that you are a Sannyasi but you are enjoying
concoction. None of the real acharyas accept any of this concoction. It comes from a book called Advaita Prakash, which is not accepted by our line at all. That's the origin of the story. It's not accepted at all, the Advaita Prakash. So therefore, unless we have a guru to instruct us, it's all. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada, this whole line, we don't have anything bad to say about this. We just do not give any importance. We cannot read their books. It's a deviation from our disciple succession if we read their books. Because to read means you're opening your heart and putting faith in them. You're hearing from them with faith. You're listening submissively to what they're saying. So therefore we can respect them from a distance, but we do not submissively hear from such people or such authors. Srila Prabhupada in his books specifically criticizes the class of men that say this. So if he's saying like that, if we open our heart to submissively hear from somebody else, we're minimizing our own guru, parampara. Yeah? We may tell wonderful stories and all kinds of lofty philosophy and everything, but we are not concerned. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our line, Gauranananda Saraswati was the initiating and Shiksha Guru of Gopal Bhakti Goswami. How can we become a blasphemer of Lord Chaitanya? How can we conceive of such a thing? In Varanasi, he was the first class, most blasphemous person of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? How could anyone who had received his mercy and attained such loving devotion through him attain, can become like that? Huh? Therefore it's painful to hear these interpretations.
Even Abhil Kapoor had said that.
So in the Prabhupada, Abhil Kapoor was initiated by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But almost immediately after, he just went teaching. He was a professor. And then later on, when he went to Vrindavan, he took shelter of various Babaji's and received instructions from them. And therefore, in the Gaudiya Math of Bhakti Siddhanta, although they respect him as a good Vaishnava, no doubt, they do not respect his writings or his teachings very much. Because most of the information of what he learned from, he only learned a little from Bhakti Siddhanta, then he went off, he was a professor. But then when he came to really dedicate his life and went to Vrindavan, he was not mixing with Bhakti Siddhanta's line. He was mixing with other lines. He took a Shiksha Guru in a line that is not recognized or accepted. So therefore, he's a very good person. but, he, but by our standards, he's very mixed up philosophically. And Prabhupada allowed him to write back to Godhead, but scrutinizingly made sure that everything was. But then later on, he said no. Not everybody. Nobody in our line has ever said that. We do not give any importance to these books. What do you think?
Maharaj, asking about parampara, this Bhagavad-gita knowledge is coming through parampara. What about other scripture, 18 Puranas?
To understand any of the Vedas properly, you must hear them from parampara. Just like in our parampara, through our parampara you can understand all the different Vedic scriptures properly. Srila Prabhupada wanted to translate all the Vedas with the proper conclusion of parampara. Yes, he had. He wanted to do the Vedanta Sutra, he wanted to do Mahabharata, he wanted to do all the 18 Puranas. But he said everything that is needed to be known, he has already given. He said absolutely everything that any disciple needs to know is within my books to come to the highest platform of pure devotional service. Conjugal love of Goloka Vrindavan, everything he said that is needed to be known is there. There's nothing else, no need to go anywhere else. In fact, he said in the first three volumes of Bhagavatam, everything was there. But then, just because Vaishnava, because variegatedness is such a part of Vaishnavism, he went on translating more and more and more and more and more. And then he left to his disciples, who were strictly following his principles, to complete the Bhagavatam. Can understand all Vedas through parampara. But in our parampara, certain Vedas are given importance and some certain Vedas are not given much importance. Because of the 18 Puranas, the ones in Tamaguna, the ones for those in Rajaguna are given in much less importance. Sometimes they are quoted, but they are not quoted very well. The only Purana that's given tremendous importance in our parampara is the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Purana that's given most importance is the Vishnu Purana. Huh? Madhva Sampradaya also never commented on Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is considered the only. It's considered the sum and substance, the essence of all Puranas. According to our line, there's no need for any other Puranas except Bhagavatam. But our acharyas often cite references from Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, Rama Vaivarta Purana, Avishya Purana, just for the sake of just complementing some extra details for the Bhagavatam. But all, in our parampara, all emphasis is only in the Bhagavatam. You will not find our acharyas so much commentating on anything but the Bhagavatam. And they'll just bring in some information from the Avya Puranas, just to give more elaboration to the Bhagavatam. But their emphasis is always understanding the Bhagavatam. because that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's word. For him, the Srimad Bhagavatam was almost everything. So which books do our acharyas give most importance to? Chaitanya Bhagavat, but most of all Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's history is Chaitanya Charitamrita is given the supreme importance. The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahma Samhita, basically the six Goswamis elaborated on these books. And for those who are in a very high state of consciousness, Krishna Karnamrita, that's given tremendous importance in our karma. Six Goswamis also elaborated on that very much. That's of any good time. Prabhupada says, unless one is Paramahamsa, he cannot understand such a book. Gita Govinda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also relished Gita Govinda. But again, Prabhupada says, unless you are Paramahamsa, you cannot understand this book. It's all imagination. Questions?
One thing which in doubt used to come in the mind that Prabhupada always used to say that whatever I'm saying is, I'm not adding anything, whatever my spiritual master said, the same thing I'm saying. Same thing with Bhakti Siddhartha also used to say the same thing. Now in the parampara there are so many gurus that have come in between. We don't know, innumerable gurus have come. If any one of the gurus have deviated somewhere or the other, they could be entered into the parampara. So, we will not be able to get the pure nectar.
Therefore, we find in our line the acharyas who were very, very strict. There may have been so many that deviated. But in the line that Bhakti Siddhanta drew out of our parampara, it is those people who the most staunchly stuck to the eternal principles. There were others also between, but they're not mentioned so much because they were not very prominent preachers. But the line that we are given are those of the staunchest, purest, most faithful followers.
Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and in the beginning also there were four paramparas, basic paramparas. So at that time those four basic paramparas were existing or?
They're always existing. As I said, when Krishna was speaking Gita, who wrote the Gita? It was Vedavyas. He's the third guru in our parampara, is he not? He was existing then. He was there. Narada Muni was there. He's the second guru of our parampara. They were on the planet with Krishna. So these lines are there. But to the kings, the line was broken. Vibhishwan's line was broken. Is not the Kuru dynasty descending originally from the solar dynasty, from the sun god? Yes?
Moon god. The Kuru dynasty is from the sun god.
Kurus is of the moon.
Luna. Devadatta Maharshi. Krishna came in the room of Ramachandra, not Ramachandra.
And the Pandavas?
No, no.
But the disciple succession was the same, obviously. So that particular line was broken. The kingly line. Krishna revived.
Not connected with this, but yesterday is Bhagavatam class. I'm just giving, I'm just speaking or just thinking of these so-called freedom fighters who gave up their life for the country, which is, you know, I actually understand that it is basically extended form of selfishness, extended self. And for that they were ready to give up even their life. For them that's the highest, because if you consider yourself the body, that is the highest thing that you can do. So determined and so sincere that they were able to give up their body for the service. And how is it that devotees who understand the supreme goal of life and all that, still they find it so difficult to give up the sense gratification?
It's more difficult to give up your sense gratification than to give up your life. That is the conclusion. In every war, how many armies are in this world? Whenever there's a war, the soldiers who go into the front lines, they know when they're going that they may die. Very likely they will die. They're willing to give up their life to fight for their country. This is something throughout history all over the world. Because they because of their bodily concept of life, they consider their country to be so worshipable. Yasyatma buddhi kuna petra daduke svati kalatradishu bhoma igyati yathirti buddhi salini nakarha chibshaneshva vigyeshu sa eva gokara. One who considers the body made out of the three elements to be myself, one who considers the land that we're born in to be worshipable, huh? It's the Eva Gokara. It's the mentality of Kauras. But they're willing to give their life on this conception. So to give up your life is not such a difficult thing. But to give up your sense gratification is a very difficult thing. Hmm? To give up this conception is very difficult. So you see how people can become so courageous and so fearless on the basis of an illusion, a misconception. Huh? How much a devotee should be fearless in his conviction of reality. Huh? They're willing to give their life for a mistake, an illusion. The Lord is willing to give his life for the truth. Even Hiranyakashipu's soldiers, after Hiranyakashipu was killed, they all attacked Nrsingadev. like moths flying into a fire. Obviously they knew they were going to be killed. Hiranyakashipu was so much more powerful than them. But they were just so much attached. They just were willing to die for their cause. Huh? This is a material conception of life. The material conception of life is such a strong bondage of illusion that people are willing to die for that illusion. And for a devotee is such a sorrowful waste. People are risking and giving their lives for a lie, for illusion, a misconception. That is the power of Maya. there are fires in the neighborhood. Samsara dava nala vida loka. This material world is like a blazing fire. You're getting some hint of that here in Bombay. Any other questions?
You're saying so much about this fanaticism. Why even big gurus involved in all this?
In what?
In this Ayodhya issue.
You cannot judge some of them. What is their reasons? There is no doubt that there was fanaticism and there was a lot of politics. But also there is certain persons who have definite, genuine spiritual concerns, protection, Sanatana Dharma. No doubt. But it's so mixed up. There's great Vaishnavas, there's other types of Brahmavad sadhus, there's politicians, they're all mixed up. They all have their what they want to achieve through this. Even though they're all on the same side, they all have different ideas of what they want to achieve. Huh? Well, therefore, we don't criticize. We can criticize fanaticism, but if someone's not in that category, even if they're involved, we simply keep our distance. We don't want to be involved in that. We are more concerned with our business is simply to teach people how to clean up the temple that's already in their heart. Huh? The temple in their heart has already been raised by material energy. We want them to rebuild that temple. Huh? Let the Muslims rebuild the mosque that's been raised in their hearts with all their violent misconceptions. We want to make their heart a holy place where God is being loved and served. It's disturbed in so many ways. The Hindus. The temple of Ram in their hearts has been demolished by the Babri of Maya, right? And Maya's built a whole other structure in its place. So we want to tear down that structure, the structure of the bodily concept of life. We want to raise that from our heart. And then we want to rebuild the temple of Ram. Bhakti, the devotion. That is our preaching. That is our contribution to all this. Others, let them do what they have to do. It's all meant to be. We are not involved. We cannot get involved in this. Because it's not based on pure devotional service. Than Kama Kanda, most all of it, right? We only want to be aligned with pure devotional service. Huh? To us, Ayodhya is right here. Janmabhoomi is right here in this temple. Huh? No doubt. Yes?
Said that some people deviate from their original is Krishna consciousness, original parampara. So is it that Maya's attack that they deviate from some people become mixed up with other paramparas and they misinterpret. Is it Maya's attack that, or that is Krishna's mercy that for some time they are going in?
It is Maya. But why they're falling into Maya? That depends on the individual circumstance. Maybe Krishna's mercy that he's allowing that person to go into Maya for some time. Just for some special purification. Ultimately, everything is Krishna's mercy. Even Maya. Everything is the mercy of God. But certain types of mercy he wants us to accept. And certain types of mercy, it's like when a father punishes a child, that's also his mercy. But if the child is not, the father does not want to he feels pain to have to punish him because of his misbehavior. But still, it's his mercy. So when we misuse our independence and deviate, it pains Krishna. In his mercy, he has to punish us by casting us into the Maya energy. But everything is Krishna's mercy. Nothing exists outside of Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy is perfect and complete. For Krishna, from Krishna there is only mercy. But according to our perspective, it appears as either material energy or spiritual energy. But it is all simply Krishna's divine love.
Today in the morning we were discussing Ayan Tatwani, all of them were discussing about Prabhupada's Malati Devi Mataji, so she was very much connected with Prabhupada, very intimate disciple of Prabhupada. Now going so much intimate with Prabhupada, giving so much services to Prabhupada, and so much intimate with Prabhupada, and she fell down.
But she still had her independence. She misused it. But because she was so dear to Prabhupada, Krishna put her in a situation where she'd be purified and come back better than ever and complete her Krishna consciousness in this life. That's Krishna's mercy. She misused her independence, but then Krishna put her in a situation where Krishna would just be running back. If she didn't receive such blessings from Prabhupada, God knows where she would be now. Someone who receives such blessings, even if they deviate, ultimately Krishna just makes all arrangements. It wasn't just the physical proximity of his blessings, but she was actually a very sincere and humble devotee. It's not a matter of just physical proximity. She was actually a genuine and humble devotee, and she was really trying. But then after Prabhupada left the planet, she was a Mataji, her husband left her. She became bewildered. And in that bewildered state, she was engrossed utterly in Maya's energy. And she obviously was not a pure devotee. She was a sincere devotee. And even sincere devotees are sometimes diverted by Maya. But because they were sincere, Krishna says in Gita, and eventually, because they are righteous, I bring them back. I make them righteous again, he says.
What lessons should we learn from that should not happen to us? Because if we fall down, then we don't have that.
Like the razor's edge, you have to understand it. You have to be very careful at every moment. Maya tempts us, we have to really take shelter of the Vaishnavas when those temptations come. Otherwise she can drag us away. She's always tempting us. We always have the free will to run to the feet of the Vaishnavas and take shelter, or to say, oh, let me see what this is. She just once you give yourself to her, she steals away your intelligence. And then you become so infatuated and so attached that if Krishna's really merciful, he just smashes you so hard that you see the light and you come running back. She was in critical condition on her deathbed for several months before she came back. When she came back, she really came back. And she got her health back and everything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that blessed is that devotee who never leaves his Lord, and blessed is that Lord who, even if his devotee does leave him, he drags him back by the hair. Prabhupada is that Lord who dragged Hayagriva back by the hair, dragged Malati Swami back by the hair, because they were so dear to him. By their own Krishna consciousness, they were too weak to resist Maya due to their previous conditionings. But by Prabhupada's, they were like Kripa cities. They just, by some terrible deathly disease and an enormous amount of pain, they were just dragged back to the feet of Bhakti. Anything less than that would not be sufficient.
They were fortunate that they were dragged back in this birth itself, but if you go off and if you are not being dragged back in this birth, you have to come once again in this material and once again into this.
So two things. One is you should get a lot of blessings now while you can, and two is you should, in case it does happen, and two is you have to be very, very, very careful. You're always the humble servant in the association of Vaishnavas. Maya can never drag you very far. She's always dragging you a little, but she can never drag you very far. But if you give up that shelter, which they have done, they gave up that shelter to a large extent. And they were overwhelmed by the previous conditionings of them. But ultimately it was all to teach them a certain lesson. And they learned. Pretty nicely they learned. I am becoming very late. But today no one can go anywhere, right? Not so bad.
Well, from yesterday, Shyamananda Prabhu is taking over.
He is the Raja Rishi. He has been coronated. For 2 weeks, right? Yeah. 2 week term. Good, you have to take all the responsibilities. Every devotee should understand what it means to be responsible like this. That's very good. I have not heard of a temple that has ever done this, but I think it's a wonderful time. Huh? Rotating president. That way everybody gets to experience what the president goes through, so you're more sympathetic toward the president, whoever it may be. Two is everybody really gets an overall feeling of responsibility for the entire ashram. And three, nobody thinks I am president. So in this way is very good. Rotating presidents. If somebody asks who the president is, you have to say, what date is it? Pretty nice. But Devamrita Prabhu has done such a wonderful job as president. And he's gained so much responsibility, insight. He's doing everything really wonderfully. And he's remained humble throughout it all. So we should all of you should have a chance of sharing that benediction that he received. Huh? Prabhupada said the more responsibility you take, the more you become advanced in Krishna consciousness. The more responsibility you accept on behalf of your guru, the more you advance. So we should never think I am president. We should always think I am servant. Huh? President is a responsibility of having more service to more devotees. Not the responsibility of being in charge. Because we have more obligations to the Vaishnavas. And then the next time is Radha Gopinath. You will become the Raja Rishi. Then you will become Brahma Rishi again. And then, who's after Radha Gopinath Ji? Tatya Satyarat. Sanat Kumar also should do. Kardama Muni also. Can you imagine? This will be a wonderful experience. Very good. You must really go all out, put everything into it. Just like the Udupi Math. You know, they have their Pariyaya Swamis, where they rotate every 2 years.
Right?
Huh?
Yes, 2 weeks.
Yes, 2 weeks. But they rotate every two years, and they take charge of the whole temple. Everybody else is just out. They take charge of the whole temple. Everybody helps. All the acharyas, everybody helps, but they take charge of the whole temple. They have the full responsibility. And their idea is, in this 2 years, we have to just improve the temple, improve the worship, improve the spirit, improve everything as much as possible as a service to all the others for when they come after me. Huh? So we should have that same consciousness. During our 2 week term, we should just try to really improve everything so much. Just like, for instance, in the temple, it's not very clean now. The walls are all dirty, and all the wooden asanas are all dirty, and things are all torn up. We should let me get everyone to wash everything now. Let's make it nice. During the next person in turn will step into a nice. Everyone should be. Trying to make everything as nice as they can. The spirit, the devotion, everything. Huh? Of course we have to do everything direction. That should be our just to take as much of the responsibility and make the ashram so nice during this 2 weeks. Huh? What is your idea, Damien?
Yes, sir.